Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Biggest idiots deserve the big bad shovel of wisdom. Sponsored by Jerry's Toyota.
And their exclusive benefits, including free service maintenance for 4 years or 50,000 miles. Visit Jerry's Toyota just north of the Beltway on Bel Air Road and online at jerrystoyota.com.
105.7 The Fan.
7:05 in the AM is the Big Bad Morning Show right here on The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for Rob and Jeremy, still with Ed Norris, Joe LaCroix on the board. We're going until 10 o'clock on this cold Friday morning in Charm City. Ed, you got a shovel?
Yes, I'm going to give it to the FBI today. Now, I don't know if you saw, they've reversed their stance on the New Orleans killer with the truck. First it was, he didn't act alone, and that's just something, if you're in the business, I can't remember the exact formula, but for every terrorist, they assume there are, I can't remember how many people, it's between 10 and 25 people who assist them, between giving them, you know, safe houses to stay in undetected, financial support, weapons. So they have a lot of support to actually pull these things off, because you have to. It's not that easy. Now the reverse track. First, it was saying, you know, this, we don't think he acted alone, and that's common. I don't believe he acted alone either. They said he didn't, and now they reversed their position, saying, no, he acted alone. Okay, how do you know that already? To me, it'd be the other way. If you said he acted alone, and then the next day said, no, we think he had help, because now you're starting to broaden the investigation, find out more connections, things like that. From experience, I do know, because I've had this experience in my police career, people are reluctant to say this, because I don't know if you know this, I had the plot for the World Trade Center bombings in 1990. Mm-hmm. I stumbled in the murder investigation. I said, this is something big. I don't know what it is. It's all in Arabic, but you can tell it's, you know, there's a lot of pictures of bomb making and photos of the Trade Center, police headquarters, all this stuff. They insisted it was a lone gunman. I'm like, there's no way. I had the getaway drivers in the red. Because if you say this, it's not a lone gunman, then you have to solve it.
Right.
Now you're making work for yourself and people want to keep asking questions. If you say, no, this is it, it's done. I ain't buying this for a second, that this guy acted alone. Second of all, I don't know if people have even caught up on this stuff. The guy in Las Vegas and the guy in New Orleans, their time at Fort Bragg overlapped. I'm not saying that's a definitive connection, but it's a little unusual that two members of the military served in the same fort at the same time, and they're saying there's no definitive connection. They use the same service to rent their vehicles, which is, it's called Turo. It's like Airbnbs for trucks.
Yeah, I think I've seen that.
Yeah, like if you want to rent you a truck or car when you're not using it, just where you do an apartment or a house, you can do that via this. But they both use that. Again, not a real slam dunk, but how many people even know that thing is available?
Right.
So to me, I was like, I look at this a lot more closely for connections, especially, you know, with the inauguration coming up.
Yeah. My shovel isn't as serious. My shovel is going to people in my neighborhood. So, obviously, we just had Christmas and everything. So, I live in a condo neighborhood, and they do a really good job when it comes to the dumpsters. Each building has a dumpster that's near it in its parking lot there. And there is this one building that's like in between my building and another building. And there's a trash can on each side of that building. One is for my complex, for my area, building area, and then the other one is for the other one. So So these people are literally in the middle and they could walk to either one. But the other dumpster is closer. For whatever reason, it seems like they only come to the dumpster right outside our building. So it's just overflowing every time and it makes no sense. And we drive to the dumpster that's literally the same, maybe even less walking distance from them. And that dumpster is just so much space in there. It's so much space in there. And it drives me crazy because then you could end up smelling the trash can and everything. And there's nowhere to put anything. It's just open. And it just drives me nuts. And it's just like, why do they continue? And
People do that. I don't get it.
I'm watching people throw things still, walk from that building over and throw things on top of the overflowing dumpster instead of going to the dumpster that's right there. It's never ending for me. So, yes, those people get a shovel from me. 410-583-1057 is the number if you want to get in. Let's go to Rashawn in Baltimore. Rashawn, you're on the fan. What's up, Rashawn?
Hey, good morning.
Hey, y'all.
Hey, what's going on, man? Hey, good morning to y'all, man. Happy Friday.
What's up, man?
Same.
Hey, I thought I was still hungover from New Year's, man, when I heard your voice this morning, Cordell. Man, I was like, what's going on? Where am I at?
It doesn't mean you're not hungover from New Year's, by the way.
Yeah, I don't say that. People listening. But hey, man, I heard you talking earlier, Cordell, about, you know, bragging about your Commanders and all that. You know, I'm talking about Jaden Daniels, Rookie of the Year and all that. The guy's cool. He's all that. He ain't all that. I think he's like a poor man's version of RG3.
You ain't got to lie, man. You ain't got to lie. It's all right.
I mean, listen, man. Y'all one and done in the playoffs, in my opinion. Man, I'm not hating nothing that.
Not hating. Okay.
Hey, Cordell, what happened when the Cowboys came down there with Cooper Rush in November? The Cowboys came down to FedEx Field, Northwest Territory, whatever y'all call it nowadays, man. Uh-huh. Y'all lost to a backup quarterback, man.
Oh.
So I really don't see
Is it fair to say that was you guys' Super Bowl? Because that's what y'all always say anytime the Commanders beat you and y'all are having a good season and they're not. So is it safe to say that we're now your Super Bowl? Is that what you're saying?
Exactly, yeah. I think we're going to go for the sweep, this Sunday.
I don't think so.
I mean, y'all ain't got nothing to play for, right? Y'all already locked in, right?
They're playing for seeding.
Okay. I mean, well, good luck, man. I hope your guy don't get hurt out there. You know, Michael Parsons is playing, right?
Is he?
It's Michael Parsons playing. So one is turning into a holy nada situation. Remember, you know what happened down there with
you jumped to your other team. My bad. I'm trying to keep up, man. I thought we was talking Cowboys, and then you jumped to your Ravens. I don't know. You know, I'm trying to stay in the same lane as you. You fooling me a little bit.
No,
right
no, I'm
now.
Just saying though. You remember RG3 that was his rookie season.
Oh, I remember
breakout season, right? And then Holovinata, you know.
Look at this guy. Him,
you know, hey, and the guy was.
Don't we got a break coming up? Before I start remembering how Troy Aikman's career was ended, I feel like it was a guy, LeVar Arrington, that was on the other side of that. But I appreciate Rashawn for trying to ruin my Friday. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. We're coming up next on the Big Bad Morning Show, we'll look at the college football playoffs. The Sugar Bowl was played yesterday out in New Orleans. We'll recap that, look ahead to the Final Four. Also at 7:30, we'll look at some over-unders for this Ravens-Browns game. Not a lot of appeal for this game, but bets have to be put in, and Jeremy's not here, so we got to figure something out. So over-unders at 7:30, but coming up next is some college football talk and your calls, 410-583-1057. That's next here on The Fan.
And this was not as good a Georgia team as we've seen in the past. And it's the best Notre Dame team we've seen in a very long time. 13 wins is the school record now all by itself. And they hope they have two more to go.
Big Bad Morning Show back here on The Fan at 7:18 in the a.m. Cordell Woodland filling in for Rob and Jeremy here with Ed Norris. Joe LaCroix, he's behind the glass. Notre Dame, they defeated Georgia 23-10 yesterday in the Sugar Bowl. It was postponed, but they got it in yesterday afternoon. Another top seed goes down in the college football playoff. Yeah. And like I said earlier, I think it's working out the way that they want. They wanted it to kind of be open. They get in 12 teams. Maybe it's a couple of these teams or teams that you didn't even think had a shot. But here we are with the 5, 6, 7, and 8 seeds representing in the Final Four right now after Notre Dame beat up on Georgia. And look, Georgia, I think, you know, three losses on the year in itself, in years past, that won't get you in. You know, it's a different time these days. And look, they had three losses and still got the two seed. That said, I don't know if you're really looking at Notre Dame as being better than Georgia, considering the competition that the two sides face, and Notre Dame having their own skeletons in the closet when it comes to not being able to win the big games. But they did it yesterday, and they look like a team that right now is going to be a force to be reckoned with at least what they do on the defensive side of the ball. And offensively, they usually get a better output than what they got yesterday offensively.
Yeah, I think they're it's funny. Notre Dame was one of those teams in this country that people love, and doesn't matter where they're from, doesn't matter if they're alums or not, they just love Notre Dame, or they hate them.
Right.
For reasons I can't articulate. I don't know why people just have this hatred for them. They're one of those teams. And I think because of that, I don't think people thought that they were as good as they really are.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not surprised they won last night at all. I think they're good. They're very good this year. And it's been a long time for them. But I just think there's something that in people's brains about Notre Dame that just when they were in, I assume that people think they get favorite son treatment.
Right.
Where, you know, they get treated differently, not really in a conference. They've been getting away with that for years and all this. And because of that, I think they kind of underestimate them. But that's a good football team.
Yeah, they are this year, but you know, like you said, they're either the team that's the most loved or the most hated.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's the NBC of it all. I don't know if it's that they've been independent for so long and they still always seem to be able to be in the fight. But yeah, it's something about them. I'm indifferent to Notre Dame. I'm definitely not a fan of them, but I don't hate Notre Dame. It's just I kind of expect Notre Dame to kind of trip over their own feet at some point. I just expect them to not be able to get over the hump when it's all said and done. But you look at these last two matchups in the Cotton Bowl, and this will be on next Friday at 7:30, Texas taking on Ohio State. That should be I think both of these games should be good, but that probably is the game that has, in my opinion, probably the best two teams that are left between Texas and Ohio State. I'm leaning Ohio State just because Quinn Ewers scares me a little bit. I don't know what I'm going to get out of him. And Ohio State, they just seem to be on fire, scoring 40-plus points in both of the playoffs games to this point. Texas has scored almost 40 in both of the games themselves. Yeah. But Ohio State, I like their weapons more than I like more than I like Texas's right now.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Texas just because I predicted them to be number one. I thought they were the best team in the country early on. They ended up not being, but I still think they're pretty damn good. So I'm going to go with the Longhorns.
Penn State, number six, against Notre Dame. This will be next Thursday at 7:30 in the Orange Bowl. Penn State is another one. You talk about teams that just can't get over the hump. They've had that issue under James Franklin, and now they're going up against Notre Dame, who has that same type of reputation. I'm indifferent on this one. A part of me feels like, and it's crazy to say, it might be Penn State's year. I mean, they just seem like the type of team that they're. I love their tight end, the way that he's playing right now, and I'm leaning Penn State in this one. It wouldn't shock me if Notre Dame wins, but I think I'm going to go Penn State just because I trust their offense to kind of back up their defense as opposed to Notre Dame. I am a little concerned with them going up against some of these big time schools. Can the defenses hold? And Georgia's defense, which is arguably one of the better defenses in the country, did a great job. I think Penn State's defense can hold them down too.
I do too. I like Penn State in that game. I think they're going to win. I think you're right. It may very well be their year. I didn't see a lot of Penn State play this year, but when I saw them against SMU, I'm like, ooh.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty damn good.
Yeah.
So I would not be surprised at all if Penn State comes away with the win, and that's why I'm picking in this.
Notre Dame is a point and a half favorite in that one. Ohio State, 6-point favorites in the Cotton Bowl against Texas. 410-583-1057 is the number. Let's take a call real quick. Let's go to Antonio in Rosedale. Antonio, good morning.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Not bad.
Doing well.
TGIF and PYT.
Yes, sir.
My score prediction is 30-10 Ravens. Go Ravens. And you guys have a wonderful weekend.
You too, man. And 30-10, I mean, that fits the bill. Yeah. That gets you the 20-point blowout you're looking for. I don't know if you're necessarily to the point to where you have your backups in a 30-10 game, but I expect it to get ugly at some point.
Yeah, I think it's going to get ugly pretty quick. Actually, this one was one you try not to be too much of a fan when you're talking about this, but I really can see the Ravens running away with this game early, like just putting it on them. The first two drives, touchdown. We take the steam out of them completely. And by the third quarter, it's like, what are we doing here?
So, obviously they're very capable of doing that. Yeah. I mean, you could pretty much say that's how the Christmas Day game went out in Houston. I mean, right off the get, the offense is 7 yards a pop on the ground. I mean, Houston wanted nothing to do with Derrick Henry on that day. And clearly Cleveland is waving the white flag when you see them talking about starting Bailey Zappe and Dorian Thompson. Yeah. Robinson. I mean, they're just trying to get out of there alive. I do think at the beginning of the game, the Browns will try. The defense is going to put up a fight for a couple of drives mm-hmm. until the back breaks and they have nothing else to give. I also wonder if the Ravens are going to play with their food a little bit to start the game just because it's Saturday. It's a home game against the Browns. It's tougher to get up for that than it is to go to Houston and play the Texans on Christmas Day or play Pittsburgh, team that you're trying to overtake in the standings. I think it wouldn't shock me just knowing their MO if it takes them a couple of drives to be like, all right, let's lock in now.
Stop playing around. Yeah, I hope that doesn't happen.
Right.
But I can absolutely see it.
Yeah.
They do have a tendency to play down to the competition sometimes.
Which would be unfortunate because, they have an opportunity to get some of these guys off their feet before, next week where it gets really real. And just go put this team away. They don't even want to be here. There's no point in playing with your food and letting anything happen. Who knows? I think the quicker they can get some of their starters off the field, the better.
I totally agree. Because one thing, you want to go to the postseason healthy. They've been, knock on wood, pretty healthy so far this year. You look at something, like they said, I mentioned the Lions. Lions are really banged up on defense. Mm-hmm. So as good as they are, I think it may show itself in the postseason with the defensive injuries. Ravens are looking pretty good that way. So let's hope it continues.
Coming up at 7:45, we'll look at Dan Ufalele, who is one of the Ravens' alternates for the Pro Bowl. A lot of conversation about does he belong there, and maybe it's adding to the fact that the Pro Bowl is probably a joke to a lot of people, but we'll talk about that at 7:45. But coming up next, we'll look at this Ravens-Browns games. Look at some of the over-unders in this game. We're talking about some of the starters getting out of this game early. Does that mean that we should take the under on them? We'll look at it next here on The Fan. 7:32 in the AM here in Charm City. Cold one on this Friday. Hope you guys that are just waking up are on pace for a great day into a great weekend. Cordell Woodland filling in for Rob and Jeremy today here with Ed Norris, Joe LaCroix behind the glass. First Friday of the year, 2025. I got to get used to saying that. Make sure I'm not writing 2024 on anything either. I have a bad habit of that. Right now, we're looking at this Ravens-Browns game that's getting underway tomorrow. Ravens playing for the AFC North title in this game as they host the Browns. I'm going to look at some of the over-unders for this one. And Joe, you have the floor.
All right, we'll start off with this one. I was actually kind of figuring out how to write some of these. They're a little tongue-in-cheek, I will admit, especially that third one. But the first one up, Lamar pass rating of at least 134.4. If he gets over that number, he will set a new NFL record for highest passer rating in a season by a quarterback. That would best Aaron Rodgers' record of, I think it was 122.5 for the season. Right now, he's at 121.6.
Yeah, I think he goes over. Honestly, I think he's going to have an incredible game. I wouldn't be surprised to see like nearly perfect passer rating, maybe like 151, 153, something like that, where he's just lighting them up, just as long as he's in there.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's going to go over that. I don't even think he's going to have necessarily a huge workload in terms of throwing the ball. I could see him going, you know, 14 for 16, something like that. Maybe a touchdown or two in there. But I definitely believe he's going for that record.
I do, too. I think he's going to get it. And I can't remember. He's had an incredible number of games over 100 this year with the passer rating. Like, just, he's having an incredible season.
Yes.
Like, almost an MVP season.
It's crazy.
Well, all the quarterbacks that have the top five for those seasons, they all won the MVP that year.
Did they?
So, he would be the first one of the top five for, per season that wouldn't win it if he doesn't get it. So, up next, Cordell, you kind of alluded to this, might influence your decision on how much this person actually plays. Derrick Henry, 110.5 yards rushing.
Yeah, I for that reason, I went under just because I wasn't sure if he'd be in there long enough. I don't know if he's going to break. If he breaks off a 40, 50-yard run, then obviously, you know, it looks good for his chances. But I do think, you know, they'll put up a fight early in the game. He'll have some carries. But I don't think he'll – I don't necessarily see him getting over 110.5.
I'm with you. I went under only because I think he's going to play three quarters of the game.
Right.
So I don't think he's going to play a full game. He doesn't tend to get a lot of carries in the first half anyway, as he just kind of ramps up as the game goes on. I could see him getting, you know, 80 yards, 90, whatever. I don't see him getting over 110 because I don't think he's going to be in long enough. If he plays the whole game, he could have 150 yards.
Right. So.
We might be in trouble if he's playing the whole game.
Yes,
though.
I agree.
Sure.
Yep.
All right, next one. This one is one kind of a joke, but I'm
but
still I'm still hurt from week 8. Over under, Ravens defense drops a half an interception.
I'm going to go over. I think they drop at least one.
Yeah.
So I could see somebody just having one bounce off their hands.
I'm giving them some credit. I'm going under. They've done a better job here. The guys that, you know, for the guys that have been in a position to make these plays have made them. Marlon, Ardarius, you know, those seem to be the main two guys that the ball is finding here right now. Now, look, if the ball finds Brandon Stevens, I'm probably in trouble. He's probably
because he's not turning around.
Hit him in the helmet.
Right. It might hit him in the ear hole, unfortunately. But you know, I do think that if they do get an opportunity, these quarterbacks are so bad, the ball literally, it won't just hit them in the neck. I mean, it may hit them right there in the rib cage to the point it might stick. It might stick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe Michael Pierce will get one.
Hey, he might.
All right.
And then the ball will stick.
There's no other option.
I'm here for a Michael Pierce pick six. I'm here for that.
That's a big man pick six right there. All right. So I'm going to amend to this next one. I put Bailey Zappe for passing yards, but let's just say Browns quarterbacks.
Combined?
Yes, combined.
Oh, combined?
Yeah, let's just do combined.
That makes it interesting.
So it'll be Browns quarterbacks combined over under 219.5 yards passing.
I'm going to still stay under. I think this game is going to be just a domination. I do. I think it's going to be a complete lopsided score, statistically the same way. I can see the Ravens having over 400 offensive yards and the Browns having under 200. So I could see this. I'm going to say under in passing yards.
So only reason I'm going to go over is because it's looking like they're not going to have a lot of running backs available. I mean, Jerome Ford has already been declared out. Pierre Strong is declared out as well. I don't know how much they really want to run Nick Chubb in this game. And I imagine they're going to be playing from behind. So I'm taking into account, okay, maybe Jerry Jeudy pops one. Maybe Jeudy gets a big game. Not a big game, but a couple of splash plays here and there. And maybe it's the James Prochet revenge game. Nah, not really. But I think they're going to have to throw the ball so much that they'll eventually get over that 219.5, probably in the fourth quarter.
Well, that's the other way, yes. I mean, I think they're going to have to throw the ball a whole lot.
Right.
We'll see what they do with
until they get to the point to where they're just like, let's get out of here.
Yeah,
let's just milk the clock.
And without David Njoku, also that's another person who always gets chunk plays for them. All right, last one. I thought about making this Myles Garrett 2.5 sacks because I want him. I like Myles Garrett. I want him to succeed, but I just decided to go overall Browns defense 2.5 sacks.
I went under. I think, and maybe I'm wrong, but I'm assuming, you know, I'm taking the Lamar factor into account here. I don't think Lamar gets sacked three times in this game. Now, Josh Johnson gets in. It's a different conversation. Yeah. I could see him taking a couple of sacks. So maybe I should switch it to over, but I'm leaning under. I'll switch it to over. I'll go over. I think the backup is the one that gets sacked a lot. And that's assuming that they're throwing.
Yeah, I'm going under. Lamar's very
good. Maybe I should go under, too. Lamar's, I'm all over the place.
He's difficult to sack. I think the Browns are going to have to throw. I don't think the Ravens are going to be throwing much at the end of the game, excuse me. So I just think it's going to be under. I don't see them. He'll throw a little bit at the beginning, you know, keep them honest. But I think once the game gets out of hand, which hopefully it does, they're not going to have sack opportunities. They shouldn't.
I'm going to try to look at this objectively, but let's just, because they did beat them the first time around with a backup quarterback in Jameis. They had just traded Amari Cooper. They had just fired their offensive coordinator. So everything had pointed to the Ravens were supposed to blow them out in that game, and they didn't. They ended up losing. Is there a scenario where the Ravens don't win tomorrow?
Yes. Yeah. If they give the, hit themselves with 150 penalty yards, it'll turn the ball over. Sure, of course, it's always a possibility. If they come in taking them lightly, come in a little sluggish, sure.
410-583-1057 is the number if you want to get in. Let's go to Bill in Perry Hall. Bill, you're on the Fan.
Hey guys, how you doing?
What's going on? Good morning.
Well, it's an exciting time down there at M&T with the Ravens, and we all believe they're going to win a Super Bowl, but. It's kind of bittersweet for about 800 to 1,200 of us. Most of these PSL holders down in the West End Zone, been there for 25 years. And as excited as we are for the Ravens, it's going to be their final hurrah in their seats that they own, whether they were there 25 years or 1 year. So as much as we're excited for that Super Bowl win and we're all going to be cheering, it's kind of a bittersweet, sad day for those guys.
But they're getting seats though, right? They're just in different areas of the stadium.
It is not necessarily. Some are a little upset. We'll probably be leaving.
But they're being offered. I mean, they're not being kicked out.
They're being offered, and let's seat 1 through 7, which is going to be gone. Because of the corporate suites coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Those people have to leave. But the sad part is the people from row 8 on back, their seats aren't being taken, but they're kind of being moved anyway. And that's kind of not fair. But saying that, it is, I just want to say it's been a great time down there at M&T Stadium in that West End zone. And I just think that all the fans in M&T feel like they're the 12th man. But I will tell you, those 1,200 people down there feel like they're a big part of the 12th man in that West End zone.
Appreciate the call, Bill. And, yeah, I mean, it's a tough situation. I could see, I understand a little bit of that because I used to be a season ticket holder, and granted, I wasn't in the situation of where they were taking my seats or kicking us out. But I understand it's the same people you see every game.
That's
and it becomes an extended family a little bit. So, it does hurt. I can imagine, and the memories, all that stuff, the cool seats, sure. Yeah. But I think it's the connections
people. And I think the people who are making this argument, like the last caller, and I totally get it. I'm sympathetic to what they're saying. Sad, it's not going to change anything. They're doing it.
Right.
But it's not the seats. It's the fact that you've been seeing the same people for a decade or more, or 2 years, whatever it is. That's what you just said is what it is.
Yeah.
It's, you've made friends, you know each other, you kind of, it's just the same people all the time. Every other week or whatever it is, every week sometimes, you'd be sitting next to the same folks, and that's going to change. So I understand.
No doubt. I mean, but the stadium, that's the give and take. You want to upgrade the stadium. It comes at a cost. Unfortunately, it's going to impact people. Hopefully, they are able to get seats hopefully just as good seats. But, yeah, it's definitely a huge change. Coming up at 8 o'clock, we'll look at John Harbaugh specifically. His contract runs through 2025. How do we feel about a possible John Harbaugh extension this offseason. A lot of people have called into the station when the Ravens lose, and they're not happy with John. You don't hear as many as those of those calls when they win, but we'll talk about that at 8 o'clock. But coming up next here, we'll look at Daniel Faalele, who is one of the Ravens' Pro Bowl alternates. Is he deserving? Do people owe him an apology? We'll talk about all that and more next here on The Fan.
I feel great for him. He had to take a lot of criticism from some, you know, some standing around this very circle right here, you know. When are you going to replace Daniel Faalele? We didn't bite. I think it paid off. So his best football, you know, this is not, this is just the beginning for Daniel. I expect him to go play his best game on Saturday night.
7:50 in the a.m. is the Big Bad Morning Show right here on The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for Rob and Jeremy here with Ed Norris and Joe LaCroix behind the glass. Coming up at 8 o'clock, we'll look at John Harbaugh, whose contract runs through the 2025 season. Should the Ravens look at an extension for Coach Harbs this offseason? We'll talk about that. And at 8:15, we'll look at the NFL slate for Week 18. Look at all those matchups in the final week of the season. But right now, we're looking at the Ravens roster, specifically at Daniel Faalele, who is one of the Ravens' Pro Bowl alternates this year. And look, he was a guy that at the start of the year, you know, I specifically was one of the guys that was concerned about him. I watched him a lot at OTAs, mini camp, everything. I was genuinely concerned about Daniel Faalele on the offensive line and even into the season. It wasn't a great start for him or the offensive line as a whole. But I think over time he's improved, still a work in progress. He's still a developmental player, but I think him getting the alternate recognition for the Pro Bowl is at least a step in the right direction for his development. And if nothing else, for his confidence right now.
I think so too, especially when you mentioned you had doubts. A lot of us had doubts.
Still do, honestly. Yeah.
He just didn't look, he's such a huge guy, but didn't seem like he could move that well. And it just, you know, it's getting beaten a lot of ways by much smaller players. So I'm kind of happy to see this happen for him. But I'm not even going to say that, you know, the jury's out. He's playing really well. So I'm just going to give it to him. He looks good. It totally changed my mind about him. I think a lot of people feel the same way. And he's finally getting the recognition that he deserves for the good play. So I'm pretty happy for him, actually.
It's funny, you know, a lot of people have been calling for his job all year, still are. You know, earlier in the year, it was Andrew Voorhees that lost the guard spot,
yeah.
You know, and he was the one that people were the most optimistic about, it seemed like. And the Ravens pretty quickly, they figured out he wasn't necessarily ready. I think the injury that Voorhees had kind of helped them make that decision, and they switched it up, let Rosengarten play right tackle full time. They moved Makari over to left guard, and they've gone with this group since then. But looking at this offensive line as a whole, we had big time question marks about them, and then the unfortunate passing of Coach Joe D, and then Coach Warhop comes in, takes over for him. He's got to kind of pick up with the season starting right around that time. How do you feel about this offensive line today compared to maybe how you felt about them after that Chiefs game?
A lot better. I feel much better about it. I was concerned about the line anyway because, you know, in the preseason, you were out of camp every day. It's like it was like mix and match. You're trying to figure who's going to play where. Can he play left guard? Who's going to play left guard? I don't know. Who's going to play right tackle? I don't know. You know, Linderbaum was hurt at that time. So you didn't know who your center was going to be. And McCary, of course, plays everything, so they had him. But I was very worried about the offensive line because you pick up Derrick Henry and now your line's shot. You know, what a blown opportunity, and turn it not to be the case.
It was a huge gamble for Eric DaCosta to then open up three spots along the offensive line after you host an AFC championship game last year. You move on from Morgan Moses. You trade him to the Jets. They lose John Simpson also to the Jets, and they lost Kevin Zeitler to free agency. And you were talking about a team that still has Super Bowl aspirations. You still have the reigning MVP in your backfield. Like you said, they went out and got Derrick Henry, and you're looking like that now the offensive line is gone. Like, what is going on? So it was a huge gamble. And look, it's still a work in progress. If they didn't have Lamar Jackson back there, I think the sack numbers would be through the roof.
Absolutely.
Most likely.
Yes.
You know, yeah. So I'm definitely not naive to the fact that they have the escape artist in their backfield in Lamar, and you have a brute in Derrick Henry that is able to kind of wear defenses down. But look, he still needs somebody to block for him. He still needs holes to be created for him. They have done a really good job, specifically after the bye week. They have road graded teams, the Giants, the Steelers, the Texans, same thing. They've done pretty much whatever they wanted to do offensively.
The Bills.
Bills earlier in the year, exactly.
I mean, they lit people up, so yeah. But he does. Lamar does for the offensive line what a good pass rush does for a secondary. Mm-hmm. You'll see these, you know, secondaries that look stellar. You know, they end up with, you know, a lot of interceptions or a lot of pass defenses. Yeah, because the quarterbacks are just, you know, they're near death every play. They're running for their lives, and they have no chance to really plant and set up and throw off the right foot. So it makes the secondary look better. Lamar does that for the offensive line. He's one of one.
Definitely.
I don't get into it too much because I'm just so pissed it's even a discussion about the MVP this year where it's like, wow, I don't know about this guy.
Well, it's the people for me that tried to say it was over weeks ago. That's just irresponsible.
Yeah.
I feel like that's just very irresponsible on a national platform to say that when you have multiple guys that are having MVP years to say that it was already done weeks ago. That was ridiculous. Coming up at 8:15.
Just to your point, it's like you're right because it's not even the ones. What about Jared Goff?
Mm-hmm. He hasn't even been brought up.
Hasn't even been brought up. He's second in the league in passing.
Mm-hmm.
Baker Mayfield's third, and both those teams. I mean, they're both playoff teams. So whatever.
Coming up at 8:15, we'll look at the Week 18 slate, look at the final week of the season, talk about some of the games that stand out to us. Probably aren't going to be many this week, as a lot of teams have already clinched playoff spots, seeding, and the division, but still something to play for a few of these teams. But coming up next on the program, we'll look at John Harbaugh. Should the Ravens think about giving John an extension this offseason? 410-583-1057 is the number. If you want to get in, do you feel like John has earned an extension or not? We'll talk about it next here on The Fan.